Amen. Our children can be dismissed. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, our mothers, musicians, trustees, everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God again for this opportunity to teach you his word and to share of his goodness. Amen. I don't take these opportunities lightly. I count them as a privilege to stand before you and to speak God's word. Amen. Lord said to say, I'm trying to want to finish up with my subject, with wide is the gate, broad is the way. Matthew chapter 7. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I want to thank our choir for rendering those selections. Reading from the King James Version, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. I just said, may God bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. It's more than just to hear God's word. Amen. But you also need to be a doer of God's word. Amen. You can hear stuff and don't apply it, but that's not going to benefit you. What's going to benefit you when you apply what you just learned. Amen. It makes no sense in going to school and learning everything, but you don't apply anything to what you've just learned. It makes no sense for a nurse to go to nursing school, yet she don't apply anything that she's learned. We don't put pen to paper. You know, it doesn't make sense for us to go to school and we don't know the alphabets still. We have to apply everything that we've learned. One of the most important decisions that anybody would ever make is a decision regarding their eternal destiny. Amen. I understand that, you know, we make decisions in life, but one of the most decisions that you would make in life is a decision of where you will spend eternity. What we have to understand is that life is like vapor. It's like, for some of you who drink coffee, you know, it's like that steam, that's vapor, you know, just it's here and then it's gone. I drink tea, that steam from the tea is here and then it's gone. You know, we have to understand that it vanishes away, it's gone. I reminisce about the yesterday, you know, those yesteryears. Just speaking to my aunt yesterday, we was talking about how the fun that we had down in St. Mary's, you know. Those days, it's gone. Amen? It's gone. But we need to understand that our life is like vapor. Here today and then gone. You know, not trying to scare anybody, but reality is this could be your last Sunday. Amen? It really could be. You know, where you live forever is very important because there is no end. You are there. Y'all ever been someplace you don't want to be? Amen? Y'all ever been someplace and you don't want to be there and you ready to go? When you check in the hell, you ain't going to be. I'm ready to go. You can blow all you want to, but you ain't going to be able to go anywhere. I mean, you are there, you know. But we have to make decisions in life. You know, there are two options. Hell, which is eternal punishment, or heaven, which is eternal joy. We have that option. So the question that we should ask ourselves, which way is to heaven? Amen? So everybody at some point in your life will be standing at the crossroads. And you're going to have to make a decision. We are confronted throughout our lives with decisions. Decision about what we're going to wear today or what we're going to eat. Or another decision in life is who we might marry, where we're going to live, or purchase a particular house, vehicle, or whatever. But there's a spiritual decision that affects our eternity far beyond this life. Ministers are always confronting people and asking people, you know, a question, where are you going to spend eternity? That is part of our job description, is to ask folks, where are you going to be for the rest of your life? You know, when you start working jobs and they start getting you into their retirement and things like that, one of the things I ask you, what do you see yourself in 10 years? What do you see yourself down the road? Well, people say, well, I don't plan on working forever. I see myself retiring. Well, I don't plan on spending eternity in hell, so I plan on being in heaven. You have to make that decision. Amen? When I started working, most of my relatives were thinking retirement. I'm just getting started. My mind is like, retirement? I'm like, I'm just getting going. But you know what I did? I used some wisdom. So what did I do? I started thinking retirement at an early age. And so that helped me to put me in a better position in life. So God's ministers are always asking folks, asking people, where are you going to spend eternity? Moses said to the people, see, I have set before you this day life and death, good and evil. Choose life that you and your seed may live. You can find that in Deuteronomy. I could have put up a whole lot of scriptures, but I really didn't want to do that because a lot of times we're looking at the scriptures and not really listening to the message. But Joshua also had to confront the people as well. You know, he who succeeded Moses, he said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served, but as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. So God's ministers, God's people had to confront people. This is what we do. We ask you, where are you going to spend eternity? Don't get upset. Don't get mad when we confront you with this. This is a real life thing that you have to make a decision on. Amen? I mean, this is just something that you have to say. You have to, you know, proclaim it. Jeremiah, who heard God say to him in Jeremiah chapter 21, unto this people shall ye say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. It was Elijah, the great prophet, who called for a decision when he said, remember I preached on this, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. My point is, what I'm trying to get you all to understand is you have to make a decision. If you already made that decision to follow the Lord, praise God. Continue on. Don't let no one waver you from that. In John chapter 14 and 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 10 and 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheephole, but climbing up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Let me tell y'all this. If you don't go the way of Jesus, he's saying you basically you're like a thief and a robber trying to get in. That's not going to work. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Last time I checked, heaven's got good security system. I'm just saying. I mean, you want to talk about guardian angels. I mean, he's got them up there. In Acts chapter 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to be saved. Jesus is being your Savior, and faith in Jesus is required for salvation. If you look at Timothy chapter 2 and 5, for there is what? One God, one mediator between God and men, and the man Christ Jesus. No other mediator. No other Savior, no other way. Faith, saving faith demands. I'm telling you. Whatever people are trying to sell you out there, if they ain't mentioning Jesus Christ's name, don't listen to them. It's just that simple. There is no other way. You're not going to be saved by any other name. Don't go out there and say, well, Pastor Ronnie. No, just say Jesus' name. Because all I'm doing is quoting his word. You're not going to be saved by Pastor Ronnie. You can't go to heaven or be at the entrance and say, well, I know Pastor Ronnie. that ain't going to work. I'm sorry. You know, that's not going to get you much here on earth, and it certainly ain't going to get you much there. Because I got to give an account of myself. Romans chapter 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Like I said, when you hear the word of God, you have to apply that. You can't just hear it. That's a good thing, but you need to apply it. Amen? Jesus and Jesus alone is the gate. Let me put it to you this way. No Jesus, no salvation. No Jesus Christ, no heaven. In that sense, in that order, that is a very narrow way. Just that simple. You must make a commitment to come to Christ. And this is the only way. And God has the right to do it however he wants to do it. And that's the way that he had chose to do it. You must enter this gate alone. Amen? There are some people who think that if you join a certain religion that you can go in as a group. you're not going to go in as a group. I'm just sorry. That's not going to happen. You're not going to go in. So it's a very narrow way. This is like y'all ever remember going? If you ever go into certain buildings, they have like some little turnstiles or whatever. Only one person can get in that turnstile at a time. Try to get more than one person in that. It's going to be a problem. So you when you go through a turnstile, you can only get one person in at a time. This is like what it is with this narrow gate. You can only get one person in at a time. So in other words, this right here should let you know that it's very personal. Amen? It's very personal. So why do Benny walk that road, that wide road of destruction to hell? Because we have hard hearts and thick skulls. Y'all understand that? That's why a lot of people are going that broad way. Y'all ever talk to somebody, you like, it's like talking to the wall, or you heard that phrase? It's like, I ain't getting nowhere with them. That's because we don't allow things to come in. In Jeremiah 18 and 12, and they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone due the imagination of his evil heart. That's scripture. That's basically saying people are going to do what they're going to do according to their heart. I tell people, be careful when you say this. God knows my heart. Yeah, I can show you scripture where he said, and God looks at the heart of man and saw it was wicked. Y'all know that scripture? So don't say that God knows my heart. Yeah, God saw man's heart. He saw that it was wicked. The wide gate looks good. This is why a lot of people choose it. It looks good. It is productive. It's easy. It's enticing. And it offers certain pleasure. So it tricks many people into going that way because it's easy and because of its attractiveness. The wide gate leads to a broad way. Plenty of room, no restrictions. Room for diverse theology. Room for diverse iniquity. Room for tolerance. Room for immorality. No curve, no boundaries. This is the society that we are in now. No boundaries. That's why they can't comprehend. They do not like this narrow way that Jesus is talking about. Because they're not programmed that way anymore. They're programmed that anything, all roads, leads to heaven. That's what society is saying. That is certainly not what I'm saying. All the desires of the fallen heart are acceptable on the broad way. No need for the Beatitudes. Amen. No need to be restricted by God's word. No need to worry about internal issues. And no need to worry about anything of that sort. No need to worry about anything good. People think they're going to be in heaven and all. And people are, in a sense, thinking that there's no need for us to worry about anything because we're on this broad road and the way is plenty for everybody. In other words, they're saying that it's not discriminating anyone. I'm going to get to that in a minute. We are also, as a people, we are very opinionated. We tend to think that something is true or right merely because we think or agree with it. Having opinions, even strong ones, about what is right and true is not wrong per se, but if God's word or the church formal teaching challenge your opinion, you better consider changing it or at least make distinctions. Amen? Because here's what I'm going to say to you. I don't care what the educated people say. I don't care what they're saying. If God's word says it this way, then that's the way you better find yourself. When you find your way, then walk therein. I don't care who's telling you this. I don't care what famous person is saying this. You know, just because a person has a large congregation, just because a person is doing well in this society, it does not make them right in what they are saying. There are many people who are saying to you today, you can choose any alternative lifestyle that you want, and it can be a blessed way. Jesus says there is one lifestyle that is blessed, and it is a lifestyle that lives by the grace of God, under the reign of God, according to the righteousness of God as set forth in his word. That's the only lifestyle that we should be living. The broad way is a pattern of living according to our own standard, wickedness, our own desires. It is an easy way because you make it up as you go. Y'all, I mean, when I'm going to tell y'all something. When I was growing up and we played sports, I made up rules as we went. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I know what this means by making up stuff as you go. I'm not bound to the Major League Baseball rules. Okay? I'm not bound to those rules. Man, we playing here on the street. You hit that ball in Kevin's them yard where their dog is, you out. That's a double out. Because I ain't going over there and get that. So I'm making up rules as I go. That is not a foul ball. That's an out because we don't have a ball right now. Now we got to distract this dog to get this ball. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I made up rules as we go. Y'all know Miss Onita don't want us in her yard. So as soon as you hit that ball in the yard, guess what? We got to deal with her mouth. I ain't think one person could make a double out. But this is what I'm trying to tell y'all. People make stuff up as they go. This is the society that we're living in right now. They're making up stuff as they live. That's why you're looking like, oh man. Now the gender of a person does not determine their sex. Y'all better understand what I'm saying. They're making this stuff up as they go. So no longer a male is a male based on his gender. That doesn't define. It's who he wants to be. They making this stuff up as they go. That's the broad way. It is an easy way because you make it up as you go. It's easy because it allows you to indulge yourself. It's easy because it gives you a kind of freedom from responsibility. There are no boundaries in the wide gate. There are no rules, but it's hard in the end. Doesn't the book of Proverbs, listen to this. The book of Proverbs says, there is a way which seems right to a man. But in the end, it leads to what? Destruction. It may seem right. It may feel right, but in the end, if it's not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it's not the way of God's word, in the end, it's destruction. Like I said, I don't care what they're telling you out there, what they're saying to you, you better know his word. You know, and then you have those people, y'all ever had anybody say to you that after, you know, the trumpet sound, you know, and Christ takes the Christians home and there's people still left. Y'all ever had people to say to you, but people still can be saved, right? Man, I'm going to tell you something. When I hear that trumpet sound, y'all going to see me gone. I'm not going to worry about, is there a possibility? I'm not taking a chance on that. Because if it's hard for you to get up in the morning and come to church right now, I promise you, you ain't going to be able to do it because the Spirit of God will not be here. It will be gone. If you go the broad way, you are literally on the road of hell and destruction. In other words, let me just say it this way. You really are committing suicide. When you go that way, you become progressively less than what God has intended for you to be as a human. That's the way you're going. That is not what God has intended for you to be. He intended for you to be something much better than the road that you're traveling when you go that broad way. The people who are on the broad way are many. There's a lot of folks on the Broadway. There's many people that we look at that we see on TV and we like, man, wow, they're saying a good word. But Jesus even said in this same chapter, I believe it's in verse 22 or something, he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In the name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonders work, and I will. And then he said, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Obviously, there are people who are, let's just say, on TV, big ministry, have been fired by God, but still operating. Amen? Still trying to work in the ministry, but God has fired them. Nah, the media was here. The media would want me to say who. And then they'll go to that person. You know, the medias are instigators. I'm just going to be real with y'all. They're instigators. They'll be like, hey, you know, so-and-so said this about you. You want to go and don't you have something to say about that? And then they go, then they try to get y'all into a fight. And then they sit there and film the whole thing. They ain't nothing but instigators. But here's what I want to share with you all. Listen to this. Don't think you're tough. Not by yourself. I'm tough in the Lord because God fights my battle. So in that sense, you better not mess with me because the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. So yes, I am a bad boy in Christ, but outside of Christ, man, I'm telling you, I'm very vulnerable. Here's where I'm going with that. If a third of the angels fail, that ought to make us very aware of our own tendency to fall as well. Don't think that you got it all together, because there's a scripture that says that we were made, what, just a little lower than the angels. We're talking about the angels fell from heaven. They wasn't on earth like we are right now. They were in heaven, and they fell. Do you understand what the words that are coming out of my mouth? They were in heaven, and they fell. Out of heaven. Do you think that you're stronger than them? That you can go against the devil? Not going to happen. This should make us more humble about our own situation. The fallen angels had intellect superior to ours, and their angelic souls were not weighed down with the many bodily passions that beset us, but they still fail. They wasn't dealing with all this stuff that we're dealing with right here, right now. Are y'all getting this right now? They're not dealing with any of this mess that we're dealing with. They were in heaven. In other words, paradise. You know what I'm saying? But they fail. Listen to this. Adam and Eve. Here's another example for you. Trying to let you know you ain't got it like that. Adam and Eve exist before all the wickedness were inherited from sin. They also fail. You and I, less gifted than the angels are, and are we really going to claim that we are not in any real danger? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? You need Jesus. Without him, you're nothing. You need him. Not having him is like driving your car without insurance. You're in trouble. It's like walking around with no insurance. You're in trouble. You need some coverage. If the road to destruction is wide, as Jesus said it is, now here's what I'm trying to go with. Don't blame God if you take that route. No one under a trial should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. He doesn't do that. It's easy to blame God for our problems. That's easy. Lord, you put me in this situation. Lord, you gave me these desires. Lord, you knew I was broke. Lord, you knew I was weak in that area. God is not giving. God has never is never the source of our problems. He's never. So don't even go there and blame God for the decisions that you make. Nobody forced you to do that. Nobody told you to do that. You did that on your own. God never, never set us up for failure. Never. He doesn't tempt people. He never puts you in a situation where you have to sin. He never does that. Never does that. God would never lead you to a place where you are forced to do evil. He is not that type of God. You may find yourself in a tough spot and under pressure. You may choose to do evil in your own mind. You feel forced by the circumstances to do wrong. But even in those cases, the choice is yours, not God's. God never sets us up to fail to do to do that would contradict both his holiness and his love. He is not that kind of God. So we need to stop with this blaming God for all this stuff that is happening to our lives that is not God that's doing that to you, that is you doing that to you, and you making your own decisions in your own life. Here's the thing. Here's what I would say. What God means for good, Satan means for evil. Amen? God will send trial, and Satan turns it into a temptation. For instance, a deadly sickness comes to a child of God. Could that sickness be a test from God? Yes, it could be. It's almost always a test from God to purify motives, to cause the child of God to look away from the things of the earth to the things of heaven, to turn back to the Lord. Many good things are accomplished through sickness in the life of the believer. Does Satan work through sickness? Yes, he does. Through that very same sickness that is upon you, Satan will be working to tempt you to depression, to anger, and to bitterness. God has a good purpose in mind, but Satan is working through that which God intends for your good in order to pull you down. So here's another scenario. You lose your job. Could that be a test from God? Yes, it could be. Now, here's the thing. If you lose your job, could God have something better in mind for you? Yes, and he often does. Amen? He may have a better job for you. He certainly wants to build some spiritual character in your life. Sometimes, another, you got to be built up. You got to have some stamina, some character built inside of you. And here's the thing. During that time of having a lost job, which is a trial from God, Satan will tempt you to anger and depression and discouragement. In other words, get mad at everybody. But don't realize that you are going through a trial right now. It also works the other way. One day you get a promotion, okay, and a nice raise in your salary. Can a promotion be a trial from God? Yes, it can. Prosperity, listen to this, is a test from God to see how you will handle his blessing. It ought to make you more, generous, more loving, and more sensitive to the needs of others because God has given you so much more, but it is a temptation at the same time in that it may make you greedy and selfish. I promise you, those mega pastors that got all that money, y'all don't see them giving anything to these smaller communities and churches. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Now, somebody say, well, Pastor, how you know? You don't. Let me tell you something. People like to brag about what they do. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And when you send them a letter and ask them for something, they'll say, well, we have extended all of our funds for this year. That's the kind of standard letter you'll get. And they ain't gave nobody anything. If anything, they gave themselves a raise. But see, God looks at this. That's why you see people, they want more money. And here's the thing. I ain't trying to bash these mega pastors, but they in my spirit. But here's the thing. These mega pastors, think about this for a moment. They're always asking you all for money. They got enough money. And you're constantly getting money. They say, if you send so much money right now, we'll pray for you and God will bless you. You can pray for yourself. You don't need them to pray for you. God said, whosoever will, let them come. He broke the veil. You don't have to go to somebody else. You can go directly to him. All you got to do is open up your mouth and confess. Why are you going to them to pray? You can pray for yourself. I guess if you're drowning, you need somebody to say help for you. That's how much sense it makes. You're drowning, but you can't say help. So you go down. So somebody else needs to say help. That's what you're saying. No, if I need something from God, I'm going to go to him myself because he gave me access. Think about this for a moment. People love sin. Let me tell y'all something about sin. When sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. It gives birth to death. That's all it is. And I believe you can find it in James chapter 1 and 15. Twice in the passage, James uses the image of birth. Evil desires give birth to sin. Sin gives birth to death. We prefer not to hear this. People don't want to hear this type of stuff. So you get on the news, they'll go to a commercial. Amen. You on TV, you start talking like this, they'll go to commercial. We got to pay some bills. We're going to go to commercial right now. Come, let them come back from commercial. I'm going to start right where I left off. They don't want to hear this. What could be happier? You know, when you think about birth, you're thinking about a baby coming into the world. But see, this is the pleasure. Sin always starts off nice. This is what I'm going to tell you. Where you have your sinful pleasure could be where you end up at. Now, you on your sick bed, maybe you was messing around with somebody else's wife in the bed, so now you on your sick bed getting ready to check out of here. Like I said, where you had your pleasure could be where you birth into another world. Amen? We do all of this. You know, when we see the birth of something or a child, we go and get sonogram pictures, put it on Facebook and all that stuff. We have baby showers and gender reveals, parties, and send all kind of invitations to let people know. But not all babies are beautiful, because sin gives birth to an ugly baby. James uses a happy image of childbirth to remind us of an awful reality. Our evil desires grows over time. They take on a life of their own, and one day those desires give birth to sin. And sin, once conceived in the heart, leads only to death. We shouldn't kid ourselves into thinking that we can go on living resistant to and opposed to the kingdom of God and his values. At death, we will suddenly want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to tell you, people don't want to go to hell, but people ain't making the choice to go to heaven either. What I'm telling you, when you check out of here, you are going to your destination. It's just that simple. The road to hell is wide. The road is why that leads to destruction, because of us. If you want to be a Christian, you must come through Jesus. Just that simple. If you want to have an eternal home in heaven, you must come through Jesus. He is the way. The way is straight and narrow. So enter ye in the straight way, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Anyway, many take that broad way because it looks good. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there find it. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. With all the different religions, beliefs, and teachings around the world, every person needs to ask, how can we know which is the right way to heaven? Many answers have been given, but only one is sufficient, and it must come from the word of God, not the lips of men. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus didn't say this. He didn't say, I will show you the way. I will guide you in the way. I am a way. He said, I am the way. That makes a difference. See, you got to watch how you play on words. Jesus said, I am the way. In other words, you want to find your way to heaven, then you need to follow me. You know, there's a lot of religions out there. You got Buddhism, you got Hinduism, you got Mormonism, and a host of others. They're being told by society that we must be tolerant of other religions. Here's the thing. Other religions want us to be basically, they want to be accepted as equals. But you can't. Because there is only one way. All religions are not equal. Do all roads lead to life in heaven, even though they all teach different things? Listen to this. Do all roads lead to Mississippi? No. If you're going up north, you ain't going to Mississippi. It's a road, but I promise you, you won't make it there in the time that you should. Why? Because all roads don't lead there. Listen to this. If there was any other way, why would Jesus come and suffer such a horrible death if there was many other ways? And if there are other ways, how could Jesus claim to be the only way and still be considered equal with other religions? His words were either true and led to heaven, or his words were a lie and led to destruction. Many other religions say that Jesus was just a good teacher. That's what they say. Jesus said, "I am the way." Some in society have said Jesus was arrogant, intolerant, and his words were exclusive. Jesus was not arrogant, not intolerant, but in a sense, his words are exclusive. They exclude other religious beliefs and practices, but they do not exclude any person. The Bible says, and I believe in John 3:16, what did it say? "So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Is there anybody left out of "God so loved the world"? He was referring to us. So he's not discriminating any person. He's basically saying that he so loved the world. So it's exclusive to us human beings. God has provided the way so that every man, woman, and child can be saved. How can society say that God is arrogant and intolerant and his words are exclusive? I praise God that he gave us the way. We deserve death. Y'all understand that, right? We deserve death, but he did give us a way. He provided a way for us to have life and have it more abundantly. You can choose to follow the way that God, creator of the universe, has provided and give as a free gift, or you can choose to believe and follow the other religions, the promises. You can earn your own way to hell. Amen. You know, there was a missionary who was lost, and he stumbled upon this hut, and he went to the guy, and the guy went in, the missionary went in and asked him, he said, "Hey, I'm lost. Can you get me out of here? I need to get out of here." And the guy rose up, and he started walking, and he took his axe, and he started chopping. And for about an hour, the guy was still chopping. And he told the guy, you know, when he got started, he said, "Follow me." And he started chopping. And the guy, for an hour, he said, "Hold up, man." He said, "I'm asking you for a way out of here. I'm lost." And the guy turned to him and said, "As long as you follow me, you're on the path to get out of here." This is what Jesus is saying to us. We are lost. He knows it. But he is saying to you, if you follow me, I'll show you. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You don't know your way. If you did, you wouldn't have went to him and asked him. If you knew your way, you wouldn't have gone to him. But because you don't know the way, you're going to him to ask him, "How can I find the way?" And he said, "I am the way." In other words, Jesus said, "Follow me. As long as you stay on my heels and you stay close to me, you won't get lost." This man was making a path through the woods. It didn't look like a path, but as long as he followed this man, he was making his way out. As long as we follow Jesus, we are making our way out of here. You cannot be saved by being religious. I want you all to know that. You cannot be saved by being religious. You cannot be saved by being sincere. You cannot buy your salvation. Here's what I want to tell you all, is that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holding on Jesus' name. That's where you gotta be, folks. The foundation is not a religion, not a denomination, and not a set of ethics. The foundation is not money, position, looks, or skills. The foundation is the person and work of Jesus, the true Lord and only foundation for our soul. Many people are trusting in their own good works and deeds as a foundation for eternity. As I said last week, good people are not going to be in heaven because you're not good enough. Amen? And if you did get there, you'd be bored and you want to transfer out because of all that singing, all that praising God. You can't do it here. You're not going to do it there. You know, that's like, you know, I had a, and this is a true story, y'all. This is a true story. I had a guy who I used to work with. He's from up north, and he came to a baseball town. Okay, and he said, man, he said, I thought coming down here was going to make me love baseball. I looked at him, and I said, man, I said, you did what? You moved down here thinking that you was going to love baseball. But when you was up north, you couldn't watch baseball. And you didn't play baseball. So when you came to a baseball town, you thought that you was going to do what? I visualized that like heaven. He was bored. He was out of his mind. He still didn't like baseball. So what I think about people who can't praise God now, you can't worship him now. You can't give him the glory and honor and praise right now. And you think you're going to enter in heaven? And you supposed to what? Rejoice? Be happy? That's not going to work for you. You have to first accept him. We all at one time and one day, we're going to stand before that judgment. We're going to be before the judgment seat, or some of us, the great white throne. One or the others. We're going to have to give an account of ourselves. We're going to have to say to God, you know, or you know, I don't know if there's going to be much talking because you ain't going to be doing much pleading. But if you haven't accepted him as your personal savior, he's going to be like, I never knew you. And then you're going to say, well, that's kind of hard. It contradicts when you said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. But you still didn't accept him. The scripture does not contradict itself. God has a plan for your life. And the plan that he has for your life is not to go to hell. The plan for your life is to be with him in heaven. You chose to go to hell. God didn't choose that for you. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But it has enlarged itself because everybody's choosing that broad way. People don't believe that there's just a narrow way because the society is programmed. I'm going to tell you how the devil works. Society is programming us to open up to more options, to broaden our horizon, to broaden our mindset. But God is saying, when they get done doing all of that to you, saying all that to you, he's saying, I am the way, and I'm a narrow way. You're only going to get in through this way. There is no There is no other way. It's just that simple. So I don't care what people are teaching you on these radios, on this TV. If they're putting an S on the end of ways, I'm sorry, but there is no S. It's not plural. It's singular. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So if you hear them talking that way, my advice to you is to not listen to them. Turn it off. Because if you, here's the thing, that's what got Eve into trouble. If you listen to something that's not according to God's word, and the devil got your attention, guess what he's going to do? He's going to continue to talk to you. And he's going to continue to tell you lies. So if you continue to listen to a minister that's telling you that you should pick a ministry that supports your values, I'm sorry, y'all. That is not the word of God. You don't pick a ministry. So if I pick a ministry, let's just see how stupid this sounds. I'm going to pick a ministry that supports my values. So I want to go to a church where they do a lot of sleeping with other people's wives. It supports my values. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's not biblical. God has a standard. He is not a house that's divided against himself. His word would not contradict each other. It's not going to contradict. It's going to say what it's going to say. It's going to mean what it means. You can't add to it or take away from it. You have to take it like it is. It is a two-edged sword. It will cut you going and cut you coming back. That's God's word. It is what it is. The Bible says, if heaven and earth should pass away, his word remains the same. I'm telling you, whatever these people are teaching you or saying to you on TV, whatever these laws are being passed, you better know God's word and study God's word. Because if you don't know it, you're going to find yourself going that broad way, which is wide. So what if you're not the majority? But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to have a news flash for you. With God, you are the majority. You can believe that. You are the majority. But let me tell you this as I close. The fact that Jesus went to the cross indicates that there was no other way for the redemption of man. No other way to be saved from the punishment of sin. No other way. In the book of Hebrews, we read, for without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sin. Let me tell you something. There is no other way. I'm sorry. I didn't read another way. I haven't seen another way. And there is no other way. Jesus Christ is the way. We need to believe that, and we need to tell people that. And without a shadow of a doubt, you need to stand on that. Because if you can't stand for God's word, then you will fall for anything. I'm here to tell you, believe in your heart and confess in your mouth that he is Lord, and don't let anybody tell you anything different. Amen.